Now, last week we started with the first 11 chapters of Genesis. We started with the story of beginnings and how things were set into motion, how creation came to be. And then it also, what we started seeing was a cycle of rise and fall and deliverance as the sin of man, Eve taking that first forbidden fruit. And then from there, what happened was they were cast out of the garden. And then, of course, they were delivered later. And we saw some examples of faith. But we saw that rise, fall, and deliverance. So what I hope to do over these next several weeks is to work through many of the books in the Old Testament and try to offer somewhat of a summary message of take-home points. Obviously, I mean, if I were to preach the whole Old Testament, it's going to take me more than a couple years to preach through every scripture in it. But what I'm trying to do is to provide an overview of the theme of each of the books, breaking them down into sections, so that we can kind of remember some of those things we've been taught in the past, as well as some of those key messages that we need to remember. So from Genesis, we take out the first 11 chapters. We take out a book of beginnings, the rise and fall and deliverance of man. Today we're going to look at the second part of Genesis, and it's broken down into two parts, Genesis 12 through 50. So what I offer to you as we start this morning is the story of the covenantal promise that God offered to Abraham, starting in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Hear now these words. Now the Lord said to Abram, and we know that later becomes Abraham, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And then down in verse 7, then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And I would also say, this is God's promise to you, God's people. So that story of that promise, that covenantal promise to Abraham, sets some things into play that we need to remember. Now again, Genesis 1 through 11 was about beginnings, rise, fall, and deliverance. And so this part of Genesis is really about a promise made, a promise kept, with warnings about what would be to happen as well. The second part is really episodes of four generations of people. So it's the four generations, starting with Abraham coming down. But keep in mind that verse 7 that I read, and to your descendants I promise this land. And we see this story of blessings, of land, of fruitfulness, of a multitude of descendants, that it is passed down from generation to generation. Passed down from Abraham to Isaac, to Jacob, and to Joseph, and so forth. And this promise that was here and is offered is our promise today as well. This is a story of a promise made, and it's a story of deliverance. So when we look at the Old Testament, and then we look at the New Testament, and we look at our ancestors, and we look at where we are today, this story sets into motion a matter of faith and a matter of obedience and a matter of trust. And in the same way, in the New Testament, we're called to have a faithful and trusting relationship with Jesus Christ, our Savior. So what Abraham is demonstrating, this faithful obedience to God, is the same way that we're expected to demonstrate our faithful obedience to Jesus Christ, our Savior, who come because of the brokenness of this world and the mistakes that we make. Now keep in mind, the people of the Genesis, up before this, they had made a lot of mistakes. Eve took of the forbidden fruit. The world had become a corrupt place to the point that God said, I'm sending a flood. And he told Noah, build that ark. And what did Noah do? He built the ark. And his family was spared and everybody else was not. And so we see this type of thing repeat throughout biblical history and even in our lives today. But the story in Genesis 12 to 50 follows a pattern of promises made, promises transferred, and deliverance. And what this does is this illustrates to us examples of God's faithfulness in the settings of trials. The title of the sermon today, Promise and Ordeal. A promise was made, but we're also going to experience ordeals. We're going to experience unexpected things. We're going to experience trouble. We're going to be knocked down to our knees. We're going to have conflict. We're going to have these things, turmoil in our life, when we don't expect it. But if we have faith and if we trust, we can be lifted up out of these things. Our ancestors that we read about were lifted up when they trusted and when they obeyed. And when they didn't, obviously we saw what happened. We heard the psalmist this morning say, if you will only trust in me, then I will crush your enemies and that I will lift you up. But if you don't, okay, you got some issues up here. We have to have that trusting relationship. So what the scripture does is it helps to frame God's all presence, all powerful presence, power, his universal and cosmic scope. It frames that through the journeys that our ancestors traveled. And these were Hebrew and non-Hebrew alike. So we see an inclusive word. We see that God's chosen people, although Israel means the chosen ones and who we are, but it's really all those who accept God and who eventually accept Jesus Christ. Those who are willing to be in that journey with God. And that's a message that we have, is that God's word is for all people. So we read that God made a covenant with Abram, later to be Abraham, and he promised him a multitude of descendants. Your family is going to be huge. Blessings. Land. Over here, this promised land. And the promise later, we see, was expanded to include, and your descendants, your family, will have this land. And so we think that in terms of what's being offered, that this is going to be great. But then there's also that but. But remember that life is not going to be easy. There's going to be turmoil, conflict, ordeals to come. Think about how we would be. We read in Genesis 12:1 this morning. God called Abram, leave your homeland, leave your father's house, and go somewhere you ain't ever been before. And trust me, are we ready to do that? Are we ready to answer with that type of faithful obedience? To where we could just stop what we're doing. Maybe it's a new ministry that we're called into. Maybe it's an uncomfortable situation to where we're called to talk to someone who asks us a question about the Bible or a question about our faith. Maybe it's a new place that we've never experienced as a church or a family. Maybe it's change in the church or family or our community. Are we ready to step out in faithful obedience? I mean, just imagine if today God said, I don't want you to be here anymore. I want you to be there 2,000 miles away. And this is what I want you to do. Or maybe he says, I don't want you to be a teacher anymore. I want you to do this. Or I don't want you to work in construction anymore. I want you to do this. Or maybe if he says that I don't want you just simply being, I want you doing. Are we ready to do those things? And this is what Abraham gave to us. He offered us his model, his life. He gave us an example of what it meant to live in a covenantal relationship. His life characterized, his life journey characterized one of faith, of trust, and obedience. And he knew that things were not going to be easy. Now what we see as we read through the second part of Genesis is that our ancestors, they were always going. Now we think that we travel a lot, but they were always going. And we probably travel farther distances. But they were always going. They were either forced to leave their land. They were told to go somewhere. They were told to go over here, go over there. And what we see is a pattern of journey and return. Journey and return. And how God is present with each of them. Abraham, we know, was called to go. And then Isaac was called to go with Abraham for the sacrifice. And then, of course, afterwards, and things, great things happened. And then Jacob, of course, was renamed Israel after he had his journey. And then, of course, Joseph, we know he went to the Egyptian land and he stayed. And that's how we got our ties to the Egyptians and how we ended up there. So people were trusting and obedient and they went. But what this did is that established who we were. We think about the ministry of Jesus Christ. In one of our smaller states, I can't remember which one it was, I read recently, the whole ministry of Jesus Christ was confined to the area of one of our smaller states in the United States. And when we think of it in that context, now the ministry of Christ is for all people in all places and all lands. And what we see happening here is the people who had been exposed to God's promise were going out to these different places and they were exposing others to God's promise and what it meant to live in that relationship. So there's cross-cultural relationships, cross-cultural travels. These things were multiplying those that brought that had God's promise in their life. But they also, during these travels, they experienced barrenness in childbirth. Journeys were interrupted. And in some cases, they experienced death. But what we remember from this, they remembered, they were exposed to it, and we can remember today as well, that God often uses conflict. God often uses ordeal. God often uses change to establish new order and new beginning. So when we think about it, the saying that we use a lot, fill in the blank here. God answers prayers in accordance. It's multiple choice, no fill in the blank. God answers prayers in accordance with blank will. Yours, A, or His, B. Which one is it? He is. So that's what letter? B. Y'all got it right. So that's great. God answers prayers in accordance with His will. So let me ask you this. And this is another multiple choice. God uses conflict, turmoil, ordeals, change to establish new order in accordance with blank will. A or B? Yours or His? His. You got it right. Y'all have got 100%. Y'all passed the class. So that's great. So yeah, we're good. Hey, amen. That's good. So we're good with that. It's about God. So maybe the order we've been in before, think about it. What happened with the garden? When they were cast out of the garden, they didn't get back to the garden, but they basically new things started. What happened when the world was determined to be a corrupt and sinful place that the God said, you know what, I got to start this over. Did He start it over the same way? No, He flooded the earth, saved Noah, saved his descendants, and started a new thing. Today, God could be starting a new thing in your life if we simply will call upon Him and have a faithful, trusting obedience and knowing that the order that He establishes is good. So the promises and journeys that Abraham experienced through his faithful obedience set an example of what it meant to live in a life of faith. Now, I don't know about you, but one of the scriptures that I had struggled a lot with until I spent a lot of time with him was the story of Abraham and Isaac. Here Abraham, a man who's been set apart and is God's very own, called faithful, obedient, he is called to sacrifice his son Isaac. Now, keep in mind that he has just lost another son. And now his remaining son, he has been called to sacrifice, to kill on an altar as a sacrifice to God. Now we can think about that might be what's really happening here, but I want you to think about it a little bit deeper. What we see is that the faith of Abraham is demonstrated because he does not question. He answers the call, gets his men together, gets Isaac together, makes Isaac carry the wood that he's going to sacrifice him with on the altar. And here we see a message of a son who trusts. I mean, the son has partway through the journey, has some idea of what's going on. And Isaac could run, but Isaac doesn't run. He trusts his father. just as Abraham trusted his father God. And what do we see at the last minute? What happens at that last minute before the sacrifice, but an angel of the Lord comes down from the heavens and says, stop, don't do this. So the message that we get here is that when we live in faith and obedience, God will cause the right things to happen. And God stopped it. And the message that he sent out then is that God does not desire human sacrifice. God does not desire us to sacrifice human beings. He offered up the lamb, the ram that had his horn stuck in the thicket, and that's what the sacrifice ended up being. But God stopped it because Abraham demonstrated his faith, and some amazing things happened as a result of that. So Abraham and Isaac, they journeyed, they were delivered because they trusted. And then, of course, we see those other places in Scripture that are journeys and deliverance. Jacob, of course, had went away to a different land and was coming back. And then in the night, he encountered a divine adversary, an unseen adversary. We know now why that was, because it was actually God that was wrestling with him and wrestling with his heart. But it was at night because people were not supposed to see God. But what happened after that conflict and that wrestling with what was being placed on his heart and that physical conflict, we see that God blessed him. And that God renamed Jacob Israel, meaning God's people. And then, of course, we know what happened with that. It was the birth of the name Israel. And then, of course, we see what happened with Noah, who listened and he built the ark. He didn't drown. And one of the other things that I remember in each of these cases is something I read recently. So we see what happened with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And then, of course, Joseph, who went off to Egypt, and Noah in his life. We go back also to the statement that I shared earlier about how God uses conflict to establish new order and new beginnings. Remember this, the world is a changing place. Our lives are dynamic. They're always changing. Our faith is always changing. And a book I read recently by Terence Fretham, the book was called The Pentateuch, said, God does not return the world to its original form. God does not return the world to its original form. So what we have to remember is that through God's interventions, his act, is that the deliverance that God offers is good. And the change that he makes is good. Maybe we're coming off of an addiction. Maybe we're coming off of a job change. Maybe we're coming off of a life change. But God's faithfulness is revealed in how our lives are reordered. So today we're reminded of the promises that were delivered by God to Abraham. We're reminded of how those promises were kept. We're reminded of how life was changed, and it was changed for the better. And we're also reminded of how God had a broad focus for his people rather than just an inclusive nature. It was all who believed. So this set the example for what it means to live in a covenantal relationship, living in a promised relationship. And we're reminded that God's presence was there as creator, as sustainer, as blesser, as giver, and all of these things, that our God is with us. So the trials and the ordeals, the conflict, and all of that that we see in Genesis 12 to 50, they serve as a model for us today as Christians about what it means to live in that type of relationship with God. The ancestors journeyed, they went, and they returned to God's direction, and life was changed in many ways for the better. The characters were an imperfect people, just like we are. I would encourage you, I mean, we talk about dysfunctional families. We talk about dysfunctional groups. You have not seen dysfunctional until you read Genesis. Go back and read some Genesis and read about how trickery to change inheritance, swapping out women and tricking people and marrying different people and doing all of these things. That's what we see in those ancient days. So their families were dysfunctional. Ours are not. Ours are not in comparison to what we see then. So what we look at today is that God worked through an imperfect people, our ancestors. And in doing so, he reclaimed and reordered the world Conflicts were there. Things happened. But God delivered. He sustained those of faith. God made promises to our people then. And these promises have been passed on to you and I today. And our task is simply this: to live in a faithful obedience and trust. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.